Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Now on to today's show. Encore.org says that Kate Williams worked for decades as a human resources professional for top pharmaceutical companies. In 1989, at the age of 40, Kate started to lose her vision to pseudoxanthoma elasticum. As Kate entered her 50s, her eye condition progressed, and she saw herself becoming a burden to her grown kids, parents, and siblings while living in Southern California. In 1997, Kate came to Northern California and decided to learn and accept her vision loss, pursue more independence, and live a very productive life. Kate was a client of the California Department of Rehabilitation, or DOR, the state's vocational rehabilitation agency. DOR referred Kate to Adaptive Technology Services in San Francisco. Adaptive Technology Services helped Kate develop her technology skills that she needed to use the computer to read client resumes. After going back to work and losing her industry job in 2009, Kate went back to Adaptive Technology Services with the goal of working with them to design a new employment training program for the blind. The program combined both training for employment and Kate's employment experience to help blind people get their next dream job. More on that training in a second. The employment training program caught the attention of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired in San Francisco in 2010. Today, Kate runs the Employment Immersion Program at the Lighthouse, training people to pursue jobs in the government, industry, finance, nonprofit, and yes, other sectors. Kate Williams joins us to talk about her blindness journey. She'll also talk about the Lighthouse's Employment Immersion Program. Hi, Kate.
Hi. How are you today, Brian? Good to speak with you.
Good to speak with you, Kate. I'm doing well.
Okay.
Encore.org says that you gradually became blind due to pseudoxanthoma elasticum.
That's correct.
Tell us more about this degenerative eye disorder.
It's actually not a disorder of the eye. It's a tissue-connected disease now that they've identified the gene, because it is very rare. They are now doing research and thinking it may be a more metabolic disease than a tissue-connective disease. But because of its rarity, not too many people know about it. But it does affect the entire body, or can. And when people have PXE, the one organ that they have problems with, it is the eyes. That's the one thing, organ that it can be in the circulatory system. It can be in many different areas, but everyone has some degree of vision impairment, some more severe than others. I happen to be on the very severe side.
How did having vision loss make it difficult for you to support yourself while you were living with your grown kids, your parents, and your siblings in Southern California?
Well, I was working for a pharmaceutical company in their human resources department as a human resources generalist and senior recruiter. I lived in Laguna Beach. The company was in Irvine, and I could not get there. Southern California has a car culture. And so if one does not have a car and there is no public transportation, I found myself relying on my friends just to get to work, certainly to go shopping. Almost anything that I did required wheels, which I couldn't drive any longer. So that was a huge change in my life, one that I hadn't anticipated. And it stopped me in my tracks, quite frankly. I went through a period of depression there because I couldn't do life as I had always done my life. That's when I made a decision to move to Northern California, specifically San Francisco, because of their excellent public transport system. And I really find that I can go anywhere and do anything because of that move. But I didn't know anyone here. I didn't have a job. I didn't have an apartment. That was a really big step to take, a little bit scary. I look back and think, wow, how did I do that? But it ended up being I think whenever or any of us are presented with problems, there's a solution. And at that time, that was the solution that I sought, and it worked out.
You got some help from California Department of Rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. The state agency referred you to Adaptive Technology Services, and you learned how to use accessible technology.
Yes, saved my life.
Converted all these various computer programs you used into spoken language. Tell us about that experience.
I started out with Zoom text because I couldn't see my computer as it was, and I couldn't read resumes. So at that time, I was losing my vision, but not all of it. So I started out on Zoom text with speech and a CCTV. And as I said, that enabled me to keep my job for another 6 years. But my vision progressively worsened. And so now I am in the throes of JAWS. I can tell you that at my age, because I am a senior, and I have had vision for a good deal of my life, it's not an easy thing for me. I'm constantly, because I'm producing work, it's not like I can take time off and just dedicate myself to learning a new program, but I also know it's what I have to do. So that's pretty much a challenge and yet a compelling reason for me to really learn JAWS and be efficient with JAWS, because it's what I have to use now.
Forbes magazine said that before and during your vision loss, you worked for a number of pharmaceutical companies and technology companies too as a technical recruiter. And you mentioned the company in Irvine, but what did you do in this position exactly?
Okay. When I lived in Southern California, I worked for a pharmaceutical company, Allergan Pharmaceuticals. Guess what? It's an ophthalmic pharmaceutical company. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I was with them for 13 years. When I moved to Northern California, I went into what we call, I worked for an agency. So as a recruiter, an executive recruiter, I would have to go out and find my own client companies, and then I would do recruiting jobs for them. So I worked for companies like Google. I worked for companies like Genentech. I worked for financial services companies like Deloitte and Touche, Anderson Consulting, which is now Accenture. I worked with a cross-section of companies, I would either find people for their jobs, or I would be working with someone, a candidate that I thought was particularly talented, and maybe I could match them up with knowing company cultures. I could match them up with companies. So I found jobs for candidates and found candidates for jobs all across the Bay Area. And that really was a wonderful way for me to know about what candidates needed to get a job and what companies looked for in a candidate. It was excellent training, 10 years worth of training for me to be preparing me for this job that I'm doing now. It was like it was just a blessing to be doing this.
I'm sure it was. And after you were laid off, after the last company you worked for went out of business,
you went
back to Adaptive Technology Services as a specialist who designed this exciting new employment program for blind people. How did the idea for this program come about exactly?
The principals of ATS actually had been talking for some time. We've been talking together, the principals of the company, Sylvana Rainey, Steve Clark, and Chrissy Dodd. Many people know them because they've been training for a long time. And they kept saying, you know, we train people and then we have no place to put the people. You know, they're ready to work, but the piece that we're missing as a company is actually helping these people find jobs. So that's how it started. And that's how Sylvana and I sat down and put together a comprehensive program. So that's how it started. Brian Bashan, our CEO at the Lighthouse, was invited to be a speaker at one of our programs. And that's how he learned what we were doing. So when he became the CEO and the Lighthouse did not have an employment program, he invited us to bring that program over to the Lighthouse. And it's been vigorously growing ever since. That was in 2011 that we had our first class.
Oh, wonderful. And I understand that the program covers those nuts and bolts of landing a job, including interview skills. What are just a few of the important interview skills that you teach the new program participants?
Interviewing is all about making a connection. We can have a perfect resume, a perfect cover letter, and then blow it, quite frankly, in the interview. Because it is about making a connection. There can be a technique in answering questions, but we as blind people may not realize some of the body language that a prospective employer is actually seeing. So we help individuals to make that connection so that in the event we're not able to look at an interviewer in the eye, you know, making that all important eye connection that they always talk about. We teach them how to look at the voice. We practice looking at the voice so that we are assured that we're making that interviewer really comfortable in speaking with us. Some of the habits that we may pick up as a blind person could be rocking. We're just not aware of it because no one's really ever told us that these are habits that we've picked up. And this is how we have seeing people that help us with our interviewing so that they can actually give us input. We videotape the interview process when we're going through role play. Even if a blind person is not able to see the videotape, they can almost always solicit the help of a seeing person to help them have a picture of how they're presenting themselves in an interview situation. And they can also hear if they picked up habits like saying or ah, or you know. These are things that if you were a golfer and you were trying to improve your golf swing frequently, a videotape is taken of that golf swing so that you can see the critical points of when you're leaning into a firm left side or when you're bending your elbow. It's the same thing with interviewing. Once we know how we're projecting to an interviewer, it's much easier to refine our technique and become more professional in our presentation.
One of the foundations of the program is connecting the blind job seekers with actual blind workers through mentoring opportunities and special employment workshops and day things. Tell us about these events.
A week after a person has gone through our workshop and after we have worked with them one-on-one toward their job goal, their individual job goal, if someone has not yet secured employment, we feel it's important to keep everyone together. So our graduates meet on a fairly regular basis to continue networking with one another, to share successes, they share job leads with one another. So it's a bigger community than just that one class that they've gone to. And we have not been had our event for a little bit of time now, and I'm frequently getting calls from the people that have been through the program. We want to get together again. Bring us together again. I think that's one of the best parts of our program is keeping people connected, and we become our own community within a community that's very supportive.
One of your success stories, Bonasson, Employment Immersion Program graduate. He turned his love of helping people into a career with the IRS.
I wish that he could be with us today because he is just one of the stories that I would love to talk about. But this is a recent placement. Bonasson's counselor actually suggested that he go to the Lions World to receive some training. And he gave up practically months of his life by going to Arkansas and being on. He lived there for 6 months to get the training. And upon completion of that course, luckily found a position in his own area, that being Stockton. So now he's happily ensconced in a job that keeps him close to home, as not doing exactly what he thought he wanted to do when he entered the program, which was working with technology. But he is working with people on the phone all day long, and he's such a personable young guy. So he's in the right job. It worked out being the right job for him at the right time. And he hadn't worked before, so this is his start into a career.
One CCB member, Lisa Gordon Cushman, was a part of the program, and now she works with the Orientation Center for the Blind in Albany.
Right.
Tell me about her.
Oh, wow. You're surprising me with her name. It's been a while since she's been in the program, and she is just a wonderful young woman. She came into the program while she was still in school, working toward a certification, I believe, as a marriage and therapy counselor. And so she was still working on her master's degree, but she really wanted to work. We had just a wonderful time with her in the class, and she was able to put together, I think, a fine resume and learned how to write a cover letter that would draw the attention of a hiring manager or recruiter. We did find this on a job board. It was a job that's a state job through the Department of Rehab. So there is no other way really to learn about those as far as being posted. They have to be posted, and one has to go through that state process to even go through the interview process. But fortunately, Albany is very close to, and the OCB are very close to, they're in the East Bay and very close to our heart. Many of our students stay there if they're from out of the area. So we had some personal relationships there. I'm sure that didn't hurt. I'm not saying that they got it because of it, but I don't think it hurt for them to know us personally. And when Lisa, she's just such a doll. When she was getting ready to interview, we did some practice interviewing. I think when she went into that interview, they were so impressed with the way she answered those questions so directly and kept her calm and cool during her interview. I received quite a few comments as to how well she did in that interview process. And she started as a night supervisor part-time. So, and this has then grown and grown to what she's doing today. I feel really proud knowing her personally and knowing her success, because she so deserved it. She had such tenacity and never missed an assignment, always enthusiastically entered into everything that we did. I'm really proud of her.
That's great. And we've got people around the world who listen to this show. What other blind and visually impaired agencies around the globe offer similar employment programs for clients?
Oh, I wish I had an answer for everyone around the world. I would say if here in the Bay Area, we have the Lions, there in the East Bay, we have sometimes, there aren't a lot of programs actually in this area that offer, certainly not a program that's other than the Lions, that's directed toward the blind community. So regardless of where individuals are, if they have a Department of Rehab, and in the United States, every state has a Department of Rehabilitation, I would suggest that people call them to learn about local programs, community service providers in their own area. The Lighthouse is not part of a bigger Lighthouse community. For instance, the Lighthouse in New York, we aren't associated with one another. However, I would think that each of those lighthouses around the country, if they're in your state, they more than likely have an employment program. If they don't, have that lighthouse call us and we'll help them get started. Yep. Because there's nothing more exciting than to see the participants in our program secure employment. It's we all celebrate together, and we've done very well. We've had about a 34%, up to 34 and 36% average placement rate within our program. So we want to share that with other community service providers around the United States or around the world. They can feel free to give us a call.
This is one.
I think there is a job for everyone. I truly do. And I think we've proven that over and over again. If you want to work, you will be working. It takes a lot of tenacity. It takes a lot of patience. Sometimes you may feel like giving up, but that job is out there for you, and you have people available to help you reach that goal.
Let's talk about Encore.org's 2014 Purpose Prize. You won that prize.
I know.
How did you earn this special honor? And tell us more about the Purpose Prize.
It's so exciting. First of all, it's a humbling experience. And when I first heard about winning the award, I was so reticent to talk about myself. I don't like to draw attention to myself. I like to talk about the program. However, I learned in winning this award that it was my opportunity, maybe even responsibility, to represent the disabled community. I do believe I'm the first person to win this award as a disabled person. It is, as I said, such a humbling experience, but Encore.org identifies individuals. They're nominated to receive the award. In my case, the people that I worked with at Allergan Pharmaceuticals really thought the work that I was doing was amazing. I don't think it's so amazing. I think it's just what we do as blind people. We help one another. But they thought this was quite amazing. And so they nominated me. And one must have been in a position for a long period of time in their previous life. And then after the age of 60, turned what they've learned in the corporate world or wherever they've learned this, turn the work that they've done in before into something for the social good. So having been in the corporate world for many, many years, and then now doing what I'm doing to help the blind community, they felt that this was worth recognizing. And it's probably one of the few awards you can get as an old person. I think, you know, everyone knows my age now, that's okay. It is what it is, but can't keep that a secret any longer. And it is really, I've been blessed. I really have been blessed by having a wonderful life all the way through. And now as a blind person, being part of the blind community and helping the blind community, and then on top of it, being recognized for doing it, I couldn't be more humbled, and I think the Encore organization is such a remarkable group because they break down the generational divide, and they actually promote the older generation, not just sitting at home and doing nothing. Many of them still want to work. Many of them today have to work. And it's in recognition of those people that are now doing things for their larger communities that they like to celebrate. And I think it's a wonderful organization for that fact.
How might our listeners get in touch with you or sign up for the Lighthouse's Employment Immersion Program?
They can get in touch with me through the Lighthouse. My email address is the initial K, last name Williams, at lighthouse-sf, as in San Francisco, .org. My direct line telephone is 415-694-7324.
Kate, you're an inspiration to us all, and we look forward to your continued success in helping the blind follow their dreams to secure their desired career positions. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian. I'm going to listen to all of your programs from now on.
Before we go, I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. or even speak out for the blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
Join me, Brian McKellen, on Speaking Out for the Blind. I interview famous and inspirational blind individuals and other specialists about a wide variety of topics, providing you with the steps to achieve your dreams. Speaking Out for the Blind airs Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, and repeats every 2 hours overnight and throughout the next day, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.